Welcome to Purpose Talk Radio. On this beautiful Monday, what day is today? It's March the 19th, and I think it's one day before the spring equinox. And that is exactly what we were planning to talk about today on this show with our special guest. And our special guest is Carla Goddard, aka Shaman Medicine Woman. So my drum was very happy to play a few beats before we started the show today. I welcome you, and I'm looking forward to the next 55 minutes to share some inspiration. And Carla called it a soul expedition that she has been taking over the last weekend, and I can't really wait to talk to her later. And I want to welcome Jen as well. Hi, Jen. How are you? Jen, are you there?
Well, since I unmuted myself, yes. Hi, this is Jan speaking, and we are delighted to have you join us here again today in this sacred space. And once again, we come to you live from Northern Germany and Southern Oregon, and also today from Florida. It's a real pleasure to have you with us today. We're excited to have this time to share with Carla and to find out what is birthing this spring. I don't know, but we're going to find out from Carla. Carla, are you there? Can you say hello?
I think she's not yet.
Not yet, or she's muted. So that's okay. We'll wait for her to come in. So go ahead, Barbara.
What can I say? It's been a roller coaster over the past few days, and I'm sure I'm not the only one experiencing this. Jen had sent me a chart, an astrology chart, at the beginning of the month, and I have been checking back with that. And then life just took over, so there's so much going on at the moment. And as far as I know from the people I'm connected with on Facebook, there's a lot going on for everybody at the moment. And it's really good when we take the time to take a deep breath and to slow down, because the pace is getting so much faster. Even it's the end of March, and it feels like it's just January somehow. And so much has happened already in this short span of time this year. And that's exactly what Carla's probably going to share with us today, how important it is to take some time out and to take some time to care for ourselves and to take care of ourselves also. So, yeah, Jen, how have your days been over the past few days?
Man, I mute myself and then you invite me before I'm ready.
Sorry.
Well, this has been a really exciting time for me because, as you probably know and some other people know, I'm finally getting ready to launch my Soul Body Blueprint courses. These are practitioner courses for people who want to become certified in doing this technique, which is reading the body. And there are messages that are in the body, I like to say, as plain as that nose on your face. So you can find out what some of the messages are that soul has imprinted in your body. Before you were even born, about lessons you want to learn in this lifetime and ways you can learn it. So I'm excited about that. I've been working on that pretty intensively and ready to do my first several classes in it. So, and as you know, otherwise, I've also been instructed to make sure I introduce the work I do with angels every week on this program. So I want to let you know about angels. And if you don't have your own angel source, then it's time to open up to it, because this is the time when intuition is vital and when all of us are opening more to our spiritual path. So open up to your spiritual path. If you don't know how, then find a teacher, whether it's somebody you already know, whether it's me, it doesn't matter. It's somebody who can help guide you to open up your intuition and to get in touch with the angelic realm and with the spiritual world that's around you. So that's enough about me.
Yeah, talking about angels, I was just, I jumped from being a mother into being a radio host in 2 minutes. So, and then I remembered, oh, we draw a card every week. So I had to run and stand in front of my card deck and go, which one? And it's jumping at me. And I'm like, no, not you. The other ones, which one? And it's been jumping at me again. So yes, I drew an angel card today, Jen. And yeah, it's just, you know, that's life, really, being a talk show host and then 5 minutes before that being a mother and then all the other things that are happening in our lives. And I really enjoy it, I must say. Especially I thank my daughter that she is so understanding, because she has been sick over the past few days, and I was bringing her to bed now, and she had asked me to tell her when I go downstairs to go into the kitchen to do the show, and I forgot when I walked down the steps, and then she was standing at the top of the steps saying, "Who just went downstairs?" It was me. Sorry, I forgot to tell you. So she's got everything under control, and hopefully she's going asleep now.
Oh,
and
good.
She's another angel that I have in my life. Yeah, so sliding straight into the card drawing segment, the card that I drew is an angel surrounded by a golden circle. Yes, a golden circle, and it's got the wings spread really, really wide open. It looks like it's going to hug me. And the question is, are you really close to yourself? Which is a good question for me, and I can answer this yes and no, to be honest. So, yeah, I mean, as I said, it's very important that we check in with ourselves every so often, and that we touch base and that we ground ourselves, because there's so much happening at the moment.
Right. Right. Remember, I told you that the messages that I've been getting since October, November has been all that movement in January and February, and then starting to come to fruition about mid-April to, and then peaking in May and calming down again in June. And a lot of that is happening right now. People are seeing that things are starting to fall into place for what's coming up for them. I know for me, I'm going to be doing my first class in April, another class in May, and then very possibly one in June when I go back to Massachusetts for my 50th high school reunion. Can you believe it? God, I'm so old.
No, okay, well, you're just very wise. I mean, you know. Wow, that's a lot that's happening for you. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. Mm-hmm. And then I ended up with two cards. One just wasn't right. So the first one is called The Cathedral, and the second one is called The Evening Star. And in actuality, they both have a similar or a combined message. The cathedral shows a young, I can't tell if it's a boy or a girl, but all dressed up in armor, in a very silver, shiny, beautiful, beautifully polished armor, including the helmet and a sword, and standing in this glass cathedral. And outside of the cathedral is some leaves that are the fall brown leaves with some droplets of water on them. And the second card, I'm going to go to that because they tie in together. The second card, The Evening Star, is a young man has his foot up on a rock, and he is facing the figure of a young woman who is kind of wispy looking behind some clouds, and there's some dark trees that are there between the two of them. There's a dark tree, and she has some flowers around her. So there's kind of she's in sort of this ethereal space, and he is more in the physical world and kind of in the night, the darkness area. So the message that I was getting from both of these cards with the young person in armor is, it is time to take off your armor. It's time to take off all of those walls that we've put up around us. It's time to come out naked from behind all those shields and stand firmly in who you are. And that is a very scary place to be. Very scary.
Yeah, I can confirm that.
And the other one, The Evening Star, is very similar in that it's a card of endings and beginnings. It's a card of releasing fears, releasing darkness, and allowing yourself to become more in touch with intuition and with spirit. So there's a really powerful message here. It's time to step out away from your armor. Take it off. Before it rusts in place, take it off. And stand there naked. Find out who you really are. Do what Catrice talked about of standing naked in front of the mirror. And find out who you really are, so that then when you put on some sort of apparel, it is something that you really want and that you enjoy and that's beautiful rather than armor. And also to be letting go of some of the fears and trusting your intuition more. So those are my cards. And you said that Barbara, you told me that Carla does some work with stones. Carla, are you there? Would you like to do a stone reading? No. Okay.
Am I unmuted now?
There you
Yay!
Are.
Hi. It's wonderful to be on here. I actually, as I shared with Barbara, the stones that I use are a great story telling of a person's energy. That's not something that you would draw a single stone okay. to mm-hmm. do a reading. But I broke my own rules.
Uh-oh.
And mm-hmm. said, you know, they want to hear a stone, so could you just gift us a story in a single stone, which is kind of abnormal for me to break my own rules. But and the
yeah,
stone
that's
that
awesome. That's awesome.
The stone that I drew. You have to understand that the stones that I have. What it's a form of doing card readings of sorts. You create your own symbols over years. And the meaning of those symbols are yours personally to be able to express energy. And the stone that I drew is one that has a very much looks like a Zen type of archway, gateway upon it. And normally the expression of energy in that is a new era is about to begin, but you can't see the path. So to step out in complete faith upon doing what I call the pictures, because there are no set paths, there's no set stones for you to follow. Sort of like the idea of being the trailblazer. You're going to make a trail where there is none.
Wow, this is going to be a personal coaching session for me today, I think. Wow. Well, I call myself a pathfinder and a pioneer anyway. So thank you. I've got the tears are starting to come up. So if you don't hear anything from me over the next few minutes, I might have muted myself and really sink some tears. Thank you, Carla. That is, wow. I mean, yes, and I do believe there's so many people that are in the exact same situation right now. And it's so overwhelming sometimes knowing, yes, what's required is this phase, this trusting completely, and it's so scary as well.
It sure is. And that goes, thank you, Carla, that goes right in with the whole stepping out of the armor and dropping down your walls and getting naked and stepping out onto your path even though you don't know where it's going to go. What an adventure that is. I think it's very exciting.
Yes. It is. And, you know, it's interesting because this past weekend I actually spent what I am terming a soul expedition. I told people that I was taking my mining hat, my flashlight, and going on an expedition. And, you know, when you're going on an expedition, it's the same energy.
Right. And you don't know what you're going to find.
Exactly. You just have faith you're going to find something because Spirit set you on that path.
Right. Mm.
So what did you find, Carla?
Did you go on your expedition yet?
I did. I actually spent pretty much offline, off-grid, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday in a room full of shaman. There were some priestess, there were some brand new people that had never even gone on a meditative journey, let alone done any other type of work. And this large group of people gathered and all went on their own soul expeditions, and then we also did a number of soul expeditions together in what Robin Rice, it was her event, actually termed a soul care clinic.
Oh, neat.
Yeah, so it was an awesome experience. And a lot of people ask me, you know, why would you go on something like that? And it's kind of, you know, it's kind of funny. I was listening to the two of you talk before, and it is so vital for everyone, regardless of where you are on your path, especially now, to take those moments, no matter if it's a single moment or a whole bunch of moments, to take care of your souls, to really, you know, go inside and cleanse them and nurture them and, you know, show them love, let our physical bodies talk to our souls so that our souls know we appreciate that our spirit is alive. And really, that's sort of, you know, one of the reasons why I do a lot of these 3-day events where I kind of disappear, is those are my gifts to me. You know, lots of times you get other gifts, but it's a gift to me to say, I am worth it. I'm worth taking that time out to go out and do some soul care.
So true. Yeah.
Well, Carla, would you tell us, I know there's a lot of people who know you, but there are some people who don't know who you are. Would you tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do, please?
Sure. My academic background first is I have a bachelor's degree in metaphysical sciences, a master's degree in pastoral counseling, and excuse me, and a PhD in metaphysical sciences specializing in parapsychology. I also, my dad was of a small nation up in Maine, and I chose to do a 10-year apprentice into shamanism with a Mohawk shaman. I also did a numbers of years work with a Tibetan monk, so I am actually also a honorary lay monk and part of the Way Order, where we studied mental martial arts. So I kind of take, and I was brought up Baptist. I also studied for like 10 years the old religion. So I kind of took all the parts of my soul, because I found truth in each of these paths, and formed them together in what I call a contemporary perspective. It's not a spiritual path. It's not a religious path. It's a contemporary perspective of how to live life today. Because we're all parts of all. We're not in these separate little compartments anymore. We're all part of all. And so one of the things that I try to do is bring in the shamanism, bring in my native heritage, bring in the alchemy that I was taught, bring in the geomancy I was taught, bring in the parapsychology, bring in the Christian path that I was brought up in, and show people, you know, my perspective from a contemporary sacred witness of seeing that there's many paths, many steps, and it all leads to the same view on top of the mountain.
Beautiful.
Oh, I like that. That view on top of the mountain, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you said the topic today was going to be, what is birthing this spring? Let's talk about that a little bit. What does that mean?
Well, you know, it's been really, really clear to me, even from the very first time that you guys asked me if I would be interested in coming on, that the timing was very profound. We've gone through this whole period of cleansing and purifying and trying to merge together already in 2012. The energy, if you look at the solar flares, and, you know, you can get into the astrological events, and as well as a lot of the political and the secular events, and how everything's coming together. We've spent all this time cleansing, and yet we are now standing at a place in the energetic flow of things to begin. This cleansing did all the germination work. If you want to think of things in alchemy, fermenting and all the tidal waves come in and washed it away. And now we're really at a point where we have the opportunity to let the seed burst out and the flower come out of the compost, so to speak, energetically. And I think it's really important that people understand that some of the shifts that they feel are, they may be vastly different to what we're used to, but they're perfectly timed and they're supposed to be happening. And a lot of people think, oh, I'm getting headaches, I don't feel good, something's wrong, I'm going from being really sad to really happy in moments. And that's all kind of the adjustment period that we have during this springtime. You know, the new moon despacho that we, the women that are doing this month, is all about letting go of the lack and scarcity. And in order to have the prosperity that's coming in the very near future, and I'm talking like weeks, the ability to manifest things quickly is going to start happening in the next 6 to 12 weeks at astronomical rates if you've done the soul work. Mm-hmm. But in order to bring in the prosperity and the abundance, you have to let go of a lot of things, like the idea of lack, the idea that I'm not whole, the idea that I still need. If you're grasping those ideas, then you can't receive what is being gifted by the spirit, and it's going to make the adjustment feel like you're really rocking and rolling, and not in a good way.
Yeah, I can totally confirm this. It's been happening to me, and I haven't even seen what I have been manifesting because there was so much other stuff going on. And there it is, and it's people rolling out the red carpet for me, and I'm like, no, I don't want it. It's just amazing. And then at least now I can laugh about it, but my jaws were so tight. Because I shut myself down towards the possibility towards prosperity and change for good, that I really stood in this door frame and I was like, no, I'm not moving anywhere, not moving my feet in any direction. I just want to stand here and stay here. So yeah, I mean, it's amazing what's possible if once we go into the flow. I consciously don't say back into the flow, because we are constantly in the flow. I think what we do is, when we kind of fall out of the flow, is that we step back into old patterns and things like that. I've experienced that over the past few days, and now I've reached a state where I can at least see when I step back, so I can then move forward again. And it's just so much going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I also think we need to remember that as this is all happening, like you talked about, our brains are going to tell us, our minds, our logic, oh no.
Excuse me. Yeah.
That's just going to happen. And, you know, we also need to remember, as far as I, you know, my experience is that as we're cultivating this, you know, if you think about it, I tend to put everything back into nature, but if you think about a garden and you're growing vegetables that are going to give you this huge, bountiful meal, you still go out there and you still water it. You still go out there and you still weed the things that need to be taken out. You touch your fruits that are coming in and get excited and give them loving energy. And we need to remember we have to do that for our own souls. It's not a matter of saying, oh, here's the energy, I can just let it happen. We still need to do all of that cultivating ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good way of focusing on my garden, because everybody has a positive connection to gardens. Hopefully everybody does. I'm not really a big garden person, but I get a really good positive picture when I think of my blossoming garden, especially now in spring when everything just comes shooting out of the air, really, to really take care of that garden in a natural way.
You know, you made a good point there about the garden too, because I was thinking back on when I had a garden and how easy it was and joyful it was to prepare the soil, to plant the seeds, to care for the seedlings, to do all of that stuff until it got time for harvest, and then I was bored. And too many things didn't get harvested.
Okay.
Yeah, good analogy for the garden of life and business, huh?
It is. You know, I tell my children all the time that, you know, if we would all just pause and slow down and look at the sacred wisdom that's around us every single day, even whether it's, you know, getting up and watching the sunrise or pausing to watch the sunset, even if you're not into gardening, watching a flower move in the wind rather than the wind snapping it off. There are so many just amazing examples of how life should be lived if we would just slow down and watch.
Carla, there's a question that I like to ask people, and I know you've definitely gone through this, so I'm going to ask you to tell us about a time when you were overwhelmed, when you were close to burnout, and what got you through it and what you learned from it.
Sure. And, you know, one of the most profound experiences that I've had is in 97 to 98. I was diagnosed with cancer. I had a heart attack. I was diagnosed with an autoimmune disease, which caused my central nervous system from my waist down to stop functioning. They basically told my husband to get my affairs in order on more than one occasion. And I had gone from this soccer coach type mom to needing hospice care. I was actually placed in hospice care full time. And, you know, when you get to a place like that in your life, regardless of how much spiritual practice you've done prior, you really have to find something within you, because the people around you are not going to be able to hold you up spiritually. You have to figure out, do I want to keep doing this? Is it worth fighting for? That sort of thing. And that happened for me. And when I finally was able to see my true authentic self and why I was going through some of the things that I was going through, and it didn't matter what the end result was, then I could turn around and say, okay, now I need to invite my circle back in. The problem is that the circle that I had before had to be completely changed. I had to reinvent my circle, if you will, because I had become a spiritual being having a human experience instead of a human being having a spiritual experience. And, you know, I think it's that period in my life is something that dramatically changed me. And the biggest lesson that I learned is, if you are not walking your authentic path, life will become miserable. Whether it becomes miserable physically because you won't pay attention spiritually, but it will become miserable one way or the other. And I think we all cross those bridges at one point or another. Once I could see myself, as you put it earlier in the show, and as my good friend Catrice often says, once you could see yourself naked, the key for me was to step out there and find that circle of people who were truly walking an authentic path that could be my bouncing boards, my mirrors. I call them my accountability friends. They keep me accountable for my actions. And that's the huge difference, you know. And today that group has evolved and changed and that sort of thing, but the message is still there. The if I stop looking at me in the mirror, the real me, the authentic me, with all the good, the bad, the indifferent, I'm in trouble.
You know, years ago, I want to make this comment, but first of all, I want to invite our listeners, if you have a question for Carla or for Barbara or me, please give a call. The numbers are there on the website, and I don't have them in front of me, or I would tell you what
neither.
They are.
Well, yeah, you the can Skype also, address is BBS Radio.
Right. You can also Skype BBS Radio, and they will connect you with us. We have Doug is our wonderful guardian angel who works with us, and he will connect you to us. Carla, years ago, I came up or understood that most of us, if there is a spiritual discomfort, we are not spiritually enlightened enough to be able to figure out what it is. So therefore, we end up with an emotional discomfort or a dis-ease. And most of us have not been, at least in those days, most of us were not emotionally aware enough to be able to even figure out what the cause of that was, to look at it and to deal with it. And therefore, the symptoms then came down into a physical form. It was like the old adage of stuff rolls downhill. And you end up with a physical ailment. And if you take care of, if you look at the physical ailment and go back and take care of the emotional and therefore the spiritual cause, then things are pretty well resolved. But if you don't, if you just take care of that physical, then another situation is going, physical situation will arise that is even worse to try and get your attention. Does that make any sense to you?
Oh, absolutely. You know, as a shaman, one of the things that I will tell you that we, that every shaman that I've ever had the honor of working with will tell you, all illness, all discomfort, all disease begins in the soul.
Right.
If you don't take care of the soul, the root cause of the issue, it will remanifest itself in the physical. Does that mean you're going to physically get ill? No. It can be emotional distress, emotional discomfort, spiritual distress, spiritual discomfort, psyche distress, or it can be physical. But if you don't take, you know, one of the things when I do work with clients is it sometimes takes me much longer than it would others to really have an effective session with someone, because I want them to do the work. I want them to be wearing the mining hat and the find, you know, take the flashlight and let me just give you a few directions to follow. And we really find the root cause in the soul. Forget about the foot hurts. Forget about the stomach that's not, you know, that's full of acid. Why is it full of acid? Let's follow the energetic signatures back all the way back to the soul to find out, so that we can just eliminate it rather than put a Band-Aid on it.
Yeah, it's the taking on responsibility for our lives, and do so in a gentle and loving way oftentimes, because we keep forgetting this. Yes, and researching and mining and digging as well, always in balance, so that we can start dissolving things and resolving issues.
I have a mentor that would, his favorite question used to be, what made you stop dancing? And he, you know, it was said to me that if I can answer the question, regardless of what is going on physically, if I can answer the question and go back at that moment and say, when did I stop dancing as it relates to this particular experience that I'm having, I will find the root cause. And I think that's true. A spiritually balanced, aligned, attuned body, whatever wording or language you want to use, is always going to have a joyful celebration spirit.
Beautiful, Sorry.
So if you're not dancing, you know why?
Yeah, and it's one of those questions that gets people out of their heads, because they might expect a coaching session or a therapy session or something. They might have an expectation, and then asking such an off question, in inverted commas, like, when did you stop dancing or why did you stop dancing, gets them completely on the other side, because it's not a question for the mind, really.
It's not. It's a question. You know, that's why a lot of times you will hear of shamans doing things like journeys, taking people on journeys, because if you can get into the imagination and out of the brain.
I have two questions for you, Carla. They kind of lead together. Number one is, many people know the answer to this, but I'd like to hear it from you. The question is, what actually is a shaman? And the second question is, why and when would somebody go to see a shaman, you or any shaman?
The word shaman is actually from Siberia. It's not a Native American word. I did not choose to be called shaman. I did not choose that term. I don't. I had a very difficult time embracing that, to be totally honest with you. spirit gave it to me, and the shamans that I trained with in the Mohawk clan gave it to me. And when something's gifted to you, it's a sincere sign of disrespect to say, I don't want this gift, I'll give it back. Traditionally, a shaman is somebody that is the spirit guide of a tribe or a clan who guides the soul. Many people think it's something different, but my understanding from my tradition, and every shaman you talk to is going to have a little bit different of a perception. But it's a term that it's not a U.S. term by any stretch of the imagination. A medicine woman is more along the line of what I consider myself and what I do, bringing the ancient medicine to the contemporary world. Why would somebody come to see somebody that is a shamanic practitioner? Because they're going to help you with your soul. You know, if you have questions about why am I here, why do I feel like I should not have been born in this lifetime, why does my family not seem like it should be my family, I can't feel like I'm connected. You know, these are things that we commonly hear when their souls are not feeling like they're merged and united as one. You know, souls can fragment for different reasons. And lots of times when people have had trauma in this lifetime or in others, they can't seem to get it back together. They can't feel like a whole person. And they are whole. It's just sometimes the energy is a little fragmented. If you can imagine your energy is really like a radio frequency, what happens on Skype if we have some electronic interference? It gets a little scratchy, you know, it can sound a little disjointed. That's sort of like the same energy of your soul. It's not that it's not all there. You know, I really, with everything, particle of my being, I don't think people are broken. I think that people are whole. It's just their frequency is a little, sometimes frequencies just get a little off. You know, we got to just fine tune it a little bit so that everything melds back together so they feel whole.
Yeah, because that they remember.
Remember. There's a difference between feeling and experiencing wholeness and knowing that you're whole.
Right. I've heard the term soul recovery used, and that some shamans do that. Is that something that you are familiar with, or that you do?
Yeah, I don't know any shamans that don't do some form of that. It's, you know, whether you want to call it soul retrieval, soul journeys, soul fragmentation, soul loss. There's a variety of terms that can be used. It's all the same. There's different mechanisms, just like in, you know, you work with the angels. I work with angels, not quite as often as some of the other animals and other things, but all of these guides that we work with from the spiritual realm, whether, you know, we're tapping into Christ energy or what or Buddha's energy or Muhammad's energy, it's still spiritual energy, and all of this energy can be used to help us mend these frequencies back together, mend the soul back together, go out and find the pieces that sort of fragmented that we left somewhere. You know, sometimes you'll hear people talk about cords being cut. It's the same type of energy. It's just a soul retrieval is a lot more in depth than a simple cord, because a cord's usually, you know, something that's happened right here in this lifetime in the present.
Right.
Whereas a soul can be a little bit longer of a time frame to follow the energetic signature to retrieve the pieces back.
Well, thank you. And once again, I'd like to invite our listeners to call in or Skype in on BBS Radio, or call in on the numbers or on our website at purposetalkradio.com and ask a question or give some comments. I do want to make a comment about the cords, and I've heard people talk about cutting cords, and I just get a real chill down my back because the way I was taught with cords is never to cut them because they're kind of like dandelions. You know, they have this enormous root that goes way down, and when you cut it, you haven't gotten to the root of the situation, so therefore they just kind of grow again. But one way that you can get them out is, again, go back to the gardening, is to sort of get down on your hands and knees and stir up the dirt in whatever chakra you find that cord until it's all friable and loose, and then gently wiggle that root out so that it comes out intact, and then you can fill that with healing energy. But I get a little bit nervous when people start talking about cutting cords.
Well, it's the same thing, Jan, you know, as a soul retrieval. It depends on how deep do you want to go.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you probably are doing more of a shamanic, what we would term more of a shamanic soul fragment return than you probably realize that you're doing. Mm-hmm. Just a different language.
Yeah, it's so fascinating that everything goes back to the same essence or returns to the same essence and connects to the same essence wherever we look. You have mentioned different religious variations, I would like to call them, or belief systems. And when we go to the essence of each and every one of them, they all meet somewhere. So I can say it again, and I love saying it time and time again, everything is connected. And once we can understand that, and when once, as you say, I really appreciate that you have said this, Carla, about we are whole. It's just retrieving stuff to come back to the surface. Once we can realize that we are whole, so much of the fear can actually fall off. And then, as you said as well, Carla, there's a difference of in feeling, experiencing, or knowing it and realizing it. And I can say the same here, like intellectually, I have had so many results and it all came back to the same topic years and years and years. Just now, only a few days ago, it all fell into place and I could feel it. It's such a difference, actually being able to feel what's going on and then being able to release as well, because that just so much falls off immediately. And then I am standing here and I'm like, what do I do now? Okay, so I'm not carrying this weight anymore. Everything's light and easy. And I'm like, okay, I'm not used to this. It's so light and so easy. What do I do now? And this is the exciting part of filling this space now with good stuff, with the stuff that I want to focus on, rather than going back to the stuff that I don't want to focus on. It's the writing a new story and everything else. It's just so beautiful. Thank you for being with us.
We have a couple of callers. So Beverly, we have on line 4. Beverly, are you on? Can you hear us?
Yes.
Hi.
Can you hear
me? How are
you
today? We can hear you just fine.
I am doing great.
And where are you calling from?
I am calling from Washington.
Oh, hi, Beth.
State of Washington, Seattle.
Oh, all right.
This is Beverly Lewis.
Hi, Bev.
Okay.
So do you have a question for any of us?
Yeah, I have a question, especially for Dr. Carla. Are you there, Dr. Carla?
Hi, how are you? Thank you for calling in.
Hi, I'm fine. Oh, you're welcome. Mine is very specific, and it has been on my mind of late. And in listening to the program and listening to your background, and especially your upbringing, and when you spoke of your Baptist religion, and just a bit ago you mentioned Christ, however your spirit comes through. I am also, my background was with the Methodists, and my religious beliefs for most of my life, until probably a couple years ago when I became more open-minded, was strictly by the Bible, by its teachings. And in its teachings, there are no, you do not reincarnate. You have to be saved by Jesus in order to make it to heaven. There is a heaven and hell, and that there is a Satan who is the archangel that was kicked out of heaven. And what I have discovered in this soul, in our soul group, is that a lot of the spirituality does not delve in with that. They believe in the possibility of past lives. I'm learning. I'm very novice. So I'm just getting into this. I want to know more. And in a Christian upbringing, of course, it was totally on my own, not by my parents. And I have not gone steady to church since I was 18, but it's so inbred in me. And another thing is the practice of witchcraft, or let's say in the Wiccan type of religious practicing, that witchcraft is a form of Satan work. My question to you, because you use all of it. My question is, to do include the Christianity, how does all of that meld? Because right now my thinking is that the Christianity way of thinking is totally opposite of everything else.
Let me just ask you this question, Bev. When you go outside and you look up at the sky and you watch those stars come out and you see the moon and up there, do you label it, that is the moon, that is the star Orion, that is the star, whatever names you want to give them? Or do you say, oh, wow, is that a spectacular view?
I say, oh, wow, is that a spectacular view? Right. Because I already know what the moon is.
The way that spirituality was meant to work in the world, from my perspective, is we all have labels and terminology. They are all sacred texts. They are all sacred paths. If we stop trying to look at everything as literal and we start looking at it as lessons of nature and lessons that we can employ in our life, then the wisdom of the stories come through. The awe of the view comes through, and we don't have to label them. So if you take what you were brought up with in Christianity, as I was, and you look at the absolute beauty of Christ energy and how embracing and loving that is, and stop trying to label it, you can enjoy that energy.
Stop trying to limit it.
You hit the nail on the head, because I am a very literal thinker, which I'm working very hard to get to open myself away from, and to be bothered thinking, to step out of the paradigms, to step out of
Bev, every time you start thinking, hold your hand and put it on to your heart, and you start thinking with your heart, and your head will stop eventually.
Good. That's very good. Very good. Thank you, Carla. That's great and practical advice, because it's so simple and we keep forgetting that.
And thank you, Bev, for calling in. We're going to have to hustle on here because we're getting
a little bit
short on time. So we'd like to go to John, is on line 3. John, are you still there?
Yes. Hello, how are you?
Great, how are you?
I'm hanging in there.
And where are you calling from, John?
Colorado.
Colorado, all right. And you have a question?
Yeah, I just had a question. I was listening to what you were saying about thinking with your head, and it kind of interested me as far as sometimes I tend to, I think I overanalyze things. I don't know, maybe. Does that sound correct, or can you do that? I mean, I tend to overthink, and
we tend to all overthink, I think. I think too much.
Everyone's always told me the answers always come from within, and, you know, I definitely have found that to be true, but I also find the answers to be pretty much everywhere I look. It's just how I matter, I guess, it's a matter of perception, or how I perceive it to be. I'm not sure.
You know, John, here's what I'm hearing from your question, John. You're same thing as Bev. You're thinking with your head. You're not experiencing and knowing from your heart. But one thing I will tell you, the tool that I was taught, because I was trying to overanalyze a couple of what I call the pictures that I've been given, is to go out and buy yourself a bottle of bubbles, good old-fashioned okay. little kids' bubbles. And when you're trying to analyze something or figure it out, you sit there and blow those bubbles. And every time you start analyzing, you got to pop the bubbles. Pretty soon you'll stop popping those bubbles and they'll just float away. And it's a good energetic exercise that breaks the habit of every thought that you have to pop the bubble because you got to figure it out. You can sit back and enjoy the look of the sun coming through the bubble.
Okay.
And it will start to help you shift out of, as silly as it sounds, totally serious, it will help you start shifting out of overthinking every single thought that comes into your head. If you make yourself go do that exercise, you'll cuss me while you're doing it, but that's okay.
It's the simplicity, right. Really. Yeah. Let's be like children. I like that very much.
Yeah. All right, John, thank you very much for calling in. And we're getting really short on time. So, Carla, I'm going to ask you if you have some special thing that you would like to say to us in about 30 seconds.
The spiritual realms that people are asking about are our true origin. It's where we came from. We are spiritual beings, not human. You know, we're spiritual beings having human experiences. Slow down. Watch a sunset tonight. Say thank you. When you get up tomorrow, slow down, watch the sun come up, say thank you. You will find that if you say thank you and thank you again, your life will dramatically change.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
We have an affirmation for today. We generally do an affirmation. So we're going to say our affirmation for today is, just for today, I remove my walls and my armor.
And I step out
onto my path
in faith.
Say it again, Barbara.
Just for today, I remove my walls and my armor, and I step out onto my path in faith.
All right.
And so it is.
So it is. And we'd like to remind you that we are on every Monday at noon Pacific time. So let me go through that. 3 o'clock Eastern time, 8 o'clock UK, and at the moment, 8 o'clock in Germany. What time? When do you change time, Barbara?
On the 25th of March, so it's this weekend, I think. And then we're back to normal, yes.
All right, so next week it'll be 9 p.m. Germany, and we would love to have you join us. Again, you can go to purposetalkradio.com, and you can listen to the show from there, and you can also access the archived shows that we've had in the past. We want to remind you that we do joint coaching together, and we have an absolute blast doing it. So if you'd like to work with us, again, go to Purpose Talk Radio, and you can connect with us there. And what else am I forgetting, Barbara?
Jen has a website. It's janrevel.com. That's Revel is R-E-V as in Victor, E-L-L.com. I have a website also. It's barbarapatterson.info, and I'm not going to spell it now. I've got the drum in my hand, so I think we're complete for today. Any famous last words?
Soul greetings to you all, and we look forward to seeing you next week. Carla?
Let's connect.
Mwah!
All right. Thank you again for being with us. Oh, Carla, quickly, how can people get in touch with you?
Website? ShamanMedicineWoman.net.
Okay, ShamanMedicineWoman.net. Thank you very much, and thanks for being with us today.
Thank you. I'm off to go play with my daughter who's home on leave.
All right.
Spring break.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.